Previously on Those Were the Days.
We are doing The Simpsons.
Hello, Moe's Tavern, home of the world's smallest big screen TV.
The Fox Network was not great.
Couldn't have a conversation where they couldn't turn it back to The Simpsons somehow.
This show is almost as old as I am.
I don't know, season like 19.
The closest thing I could think of is like Norm's walk-ins and Cheers.
Some things that aren't quite a joke.
I will not forget to write an introduction. I will not forget to write an introduction.
That's amazing.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
Hey, hey, we're Those Were the Days, and people say we podcast around. But we're too busy watching old television to put anybody down. Hello, that's right. This is Those Were the Days, and I am your host this week, Amy, and I cannot do this by myself because I am very fully unprepared. And so I need the other members of my group. On the drums, we have Steven.
You know, Steven couldn't be here tonight. My name's Snakes. I look a lot like him, but I'm not some kind of lame-o, wimpy guy. Here's the thing. I never liked the monkeys. They jump all around and steal your pocket change. Anyways, I'm here to do the show with yous.
On lead vocals, it's Audie.
Hi there, son. I'm the police captain. No name, just captain. So apparently you look just like a dangerous gangster we already have in jail for... reasons. We need you to infiltrate this gang and help us locate some stolen goods. What prior law enforcement experience do you have?
None.
Okay, none whatsoever. All right. Now, are you in any way related to the criminal known as Babyface? Oh, you're his cousin. Good to know. Okay. Now, do you have any experience with nefarious people like this? Oh, you're in a rock and roll band. Alrighty, so let's get this all straight. You're a musician who just so happens to be related to this notorious gangster, and you have absolutely no law enforcement experience at all. Well, you'll be perfect for this undercover operation. Just be glad the real Babyface is in jail. If you had to deal with him too, whew, then you'd be in a real pickle.
And playing a mean tambourine, it's Travis.
You know, every time I'm walking down the street, I just get the funniest looks from everyone I meet.
In case you couldn't piece it together, we're talking about The Monkees, specifically season 1, episode 25, alias Mickey Dolenz. This is another show like Laugh-In that I very much associate with my little sister. I believe that Mickey was her favorite. If memory serves, Mickey was her favorite. I could be wrong on that. So it was a big popular one in our house. I don't remember how we watched it. It must have been somewhere in syndication, and we just watched it all, and it was great. Wherever it was that we were watching all of these shows that were definitely not for us, but here we are. But we also, we grew up in a household. My dad was a DJ when he was in his 20s. And so that was exclusively what we listened to. Like, if I know music, if I know a song after approximately 1987, it's because it played where I worked retail, or Scott Bradley and the Postmodern Jukebox have done a cover of it. Like, that's it. Like, these are the only reasons I know anything even remotely modern. So I want to get your history with the Monkees, and we will start with Steven.
We're starting with me.
We're gonna start with you.
So exciting. Yeah. The Monkees ran for a very short amount of time on Nick at Night. I don't know. Nick at Night did this thing every now and then where they would like play a show you might not run into. Like they never went into their normal cycle. You know, They always had their Dick Van Dyke, what you would watch. You could watch it three whole runs in a row, you know, and then they would occasionally throw something in, like Love American Style was something they threw in at one point that ran for like, they did maybe a season of it, and then they moved to something else. The Monkees was that too. The Monkees came on at that prime time, Steven's watching TV o'clock, 9 p.m. And I was like, what is this? Because I hated the Partridge Family. I mean, that was one of the things that was on my list of babies for this this month. And I was like, oh, man, like a show with a band again. No, it was not stupid. It was fantastic, and it was the Monkees. And I loved watching this show. And I wish I could tell you more about, like, all the episodes I remember and all the fun I had watching. It's more of a feeling. You know when you have a memory that's more of a feeling than any kind of tangible thing? That's what the Monkees bring me. And I always remembered the four of them. And for the life of me, I could remember Mickey and Peter and Davy all day, but I could never remember Mike. And a lot of that is because Mickey and Peter and Davy Jones stuck around beyond this TV show to do reunions and stuff, and Mike kind of bowed out, you know?
Yeah.
But those guys stuck around, and I remember watching the Brady Bunch movie in 94, and Davy Jones was like a big part of the end of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's the guy from the Monkees. Anyway, I just, when you said the Monkees last week, I was just so tickled.
Oh, we heard.
Because, yeah, this show's just a joy for me. So, yeah, I'm in.
How about you, Travis?
I definitely watched the Monkees. I don't remember where, but I know like it was one of those shows that kind of ran in a rotation on some channel that we had here. And so I would watch it, and it kind of lived in the same world for me as like Batman 66 and those. It was in that same era, and I think maybe the block of television that I caught it on happened to be playing it back-to-back with stuff like that. So I adored it. I loved the music. It was just that fun, poppy, you know, pop music. And I definitely just remember, have so many fond memories of just like bopping along. No idea what was going on in any of the episodes. Not a clue.
To be fair, didn't I don't think they did either a lot of the time.
Also, I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Adi?
Okay. I have absolutely no connection to this show at all.
Wow.
This is my first time ever watching the Monkees. I knew the Monkees existed.
Yeah.
I knew the name.
Yeah.
Beyond that,
I assume you've seen Shrek, so you're familiar with at least the catalog.
That's the thing. I don't remember putting two and two together that much before watching this episode and looking into it and being like, wait, what? They did that song? Wait, that's them? What? What? Somehow I missed whenever they did their little comeback stuff, and it just, you know, went over my head whenever they were in conversation or something. So this show, watching this week, was a revelation.
Well, good. I'm excited. The Monkees ran for two seasons from September 12th, 1966 to March 25th, 1968. The Monkees were a band, and the Monkees are a manufactured band is the word I'm going to use, which I feel like today is like, I feel like that's not as revolutionary an idea today. Like every time the boy band craze starts up again, like it's when the cycle begins anew, like we're always pulling them out of the woodwork. I think it started here, really. I think a lot of K-pop bands, I don't know for a fact, so if pardon me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of K-pop bands that are put together like that. Like someone finds the musicians and puts them together and says, congratulations, you're a band.
I'm pretty sure K-pop does that. I know J-pop does.
Yeah.
There's like Baby Metal is a band that was manufactured. They were part of a J-pop like school almost. And then those three were selected to be Baby Metal. And they created that. So like, it's not, I don't even think it was necessarily a new thing in the 60s to do that.
Because I'm sure they were doing it in the 50s.
Yeah.
That seems like a thing. But it's just, I feel like it happens a lot today. Like now we're just like, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, they farm it. Well, I mean, Lou Pearlman kind of did that at his little, like, boy band ranch or whatever.
Yeah.
But we just got used to going and finding people. This seemed more like a call. Like, I'm a music label, and I got a gap in my catalog. I need a band. It's kind of like if you've got the drummer, and the drummer's like, I need a guitarist and a bassist and a thing. So you put a call out for those people.
Sure.
But this is someone that doesn't participate in the band putting a call out for the entire group.
And this,
like, we've got this, and we're going to give you all the songs and everything and make this a corporate-sponsored event kind of thing.
This wasn't even a musician that did it. It was this guy, Bob Raffleson, who was a aspiring filmmaker. And he eventually teamed up with Bert Schneider. And they're pitching the idea basically after Beatles' Hard Day's Night and Help were so successful. They brought this idea back of like, hey, let's do a thing about a band.
Yep.
It's a little Spinal Tap. I want to read the ad that they put out. The casting call.
Oh, yes.
Because it's quite good. So this ran in the September 1965 Daily Variety and Hollywood Reporter, which are two papers that run a lot of casting ads. Madness! 2 exclamation points. Auditions.
Yeah.
Folk and roll musicians, singers for acting roles in new TV series. Running parts for 4 insane boys aged 17 to 21. Want spirited Ben Franks type. Have courage to work. Must come down for interview. I feel like have courage to work is like we're not going to pay very well. Right? Yeah. Like that's it's like cozy means small. I feel like that's where we're at.
Yeah. We're going to pay you an exposure.
Mm. Yes, yeah. Audie, you're all too familiar with that.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how the Monkees were born. There were season 1 had 32 episodes, season 2 26. There's a lot of nonsense that happens in these episodes. Like I remember one with a horse. I don't know entirely, but it was like in the house is what I remember. I could be wrong on that, but that's like the one like moment I can remember from the way back times. So yeah, fantastic.
I do not recall that one. I do recall a castle at one point. That's the episode that sticks in my mind. They're in some sort of castle, and I think there was snow.
There was a Wild West one I wanted to do, and it is on YouTube, but the problem is that they have removed the songs, and where the songs are, they've just repeated audio from other, like the video is still going, but they've just pasted audio from other parts of the episode. It's not good. And I was so sad.
It took me 2 tries to watch this episode because the first one I clicked on, it didn't play. Like they took the audio out of the intro song, and I was like, no. No, I will not.
Yeah, no.
I am watching. I am giving YouTube credit to the person who plays all the music. So,
yeah. The those were the days rule is if we don't hear an intro song,
we're out.
We're out. Like that.
We do not hit the skip intro button.
No,
we don't care for whoever. We're not there. It's half of why we're here.
Yep.
Members of the Monkees. I feel like we haven't actually said that. So it's Davy Jones, Mickey Dolenz, Mike Naismith, and Peter Tork. I feel like part of the reason that Mike is also maybe less memorable too is that he is very frequently the straight man to everyone else being absolutely off the rails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he had a hat. So like
he did have a hat.
He had the hat.
That's why they gave him the hat. They had to give him the hat because he was the one with the hat. That's my current theory. All right.
Yep, that was good.
So this episode, alias Mickey Dolenz. So it starts with Mickey is out for a drive and he gets out of the car and this like little gangster type, which you're like, what year is happening right now? What is going on? Why are we in 1920 Chicago right now? I don't
it's
get
the
it.
Passing of the old guard. Yeah. You know, there's remnants of the old ways still in the 60s.
So
you know?
Good.
In the 60s in California. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, it is like, hey, when did you get out? He's like, oh, you know, I was having a groovy day, so I thought I'd take a drive. And like, this guy clearly thinks he is someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it escalates to the point where the guy is beating him with his, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume it's a racing form. That's just the vibe I get.
Yes.
But
probably.
Just like, what? Just beating him. So he goes.
While apologizing.
While apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was weird. That was real weird.
It was real weird. So Mike convinces Mickey that he has got to go to the police and report this. Like this is just, it's too much. You've got to go. So he goes in.
Otherwise, you're going to promote violence on the street. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's
right. I love that line.
So good. So he goes in, and the police captain is like, everyone is like so surprised to see him. And is like, ah, oh no. And he's like, I'm here to report a beating. Well, did you kill him? No, I was the one. I was the one that got beat. And so it eventually we find out that, oh, Mickey's a dead ringer for this guy, Babyface. So I miss it. So they are actually related, or was that just his story?
No, I think that was just his story.
That's what I thought, right?
Right.
Like, that was just, all right. So,
yeah, by the way, the beating with the newspaper, like the madcap nonsense kicks off pretty quick at the beginning of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it with my wife downstairs, and I was like, this is the point where she tells me I need to go upstairs and watch this by myself. Yelling, I'm sorry, and hitting Mickey with the newspaper, and it's just like noise. Look, YouTube videos aren't good at speakers all over your house. It just kind of combines all of it into this weird salad of sound that just blasts at you from every direction.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was very hard for me to both hear anyone on the TV and to like keep the music at a reasonable volume.
So yeah.
I was like turning it up. I'm like, she's going to tell me to leave. She's going to tell me this is too much for right now and I need to go watch this by myself.
So turns out that he's a dead ringer for Babyface and who they have captured. But they didn't get any of his gang or the loot from their heist.
The goods and the hoods.
Yeah, the goods and the hoods. So the captain's got this great idea. Mickey, you can go undercover and you can help us get the gang and the goods and then everything will be all set. And he's like, no, thank you.
Which is the correct answer to
that. That is the correct response.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. The best when Mike is trying to tell the captain who he really is, and he's like, "No, this is Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees. Thank you very much." It's just so good.
Very famous rock band.
Very famous. Uh-huh. So he's like, "I'm not gonna do that." And the guy's like, "Okay, but you know, Babyface has a lot of enemies on the outside." So, it sure would be a shame if something happened to you. He's like, "Oh, I'll be fine," and immediately walks into the door.
Because he's very
careful. He gets outside, and outside of the police station, as he's standing on the front steps of the police station, there is a drive-by shooting with a Tommy gun.
Right.
This police force is really not up to snuff. Is what I'm saying. This is not cutting it.
You don't think so? I mean, and Mickey's not exactly doing what a normal person would do when confronted with bullets flying at them. He's doing a weird dance, running around in circles. The door's right behind you, bud. Like the door to the police station.
Yeah.
You can run right into it and be in safety again.
That's sad. I mean, I'd probably be pretty surprised as well. Like,
what do I do? I'm being shot at.
I definitely wouldn't keep dancing around and flailing and giving them more of me to shoot at. I would be like down the ground, head covered. No.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to turn sideways and really limit the amount of exposure, your organs. That way, if a bullet does hit you, it goes all the way through everything.
Leave nothing to chance.
Yeah, come on.
Ben comes, it's the best, because this show has a lot of, sped up running around doing things which is real fun. So that happens here when Mickey does go back inside.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like running all yeah. over the office and climbing on tables. Like, he's like, okay, I'll do it.
It just made me think of Jim Carrey in The Mask. That whole
yeah.
scene.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's weird.
The whole vibe, and it might just be that it's just that era and it's the audience, mm-hmm. the, you know, stuff, but it felt a lot like the Flintstones to me. I can't really yeah. place yeah. it, but I was like, this just feels
you'd
like
you hear like
that.
The bongos, like if they were playing the stuff, like you would totally buy it.
You
would be in.
Yep.
Scooby-Doo sounds, the Hanna-Barbera sound effects.
Yeah. It was just really that era Hanna-Barbera, but it was real guys.
Right.
It was real people.
It cracked me up that he was running around the office and everybody's still sitting there like nothing's happening. Like nobody's reacting to him at all.
Shooting outside window.
That is really one of my favorite tropes in entertainment is yeah. just the goofy madcap. Somebody's running around doing whatever and everybody else in the scene just yeah. sits and does nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never get tired of that.
See him. Don't worry about yeah. it.
React naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, Mickey's going to do it. Mickey's going to pose as Babyface, and we're going to get in, and this is going to be a great plan. All right, but first. So, he's got to go meet his friends. And so we get the rogues gallery of Babyface's friends.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's got to meet Babyface so first, because he's got to learn how
first?
To talk like him. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I knew we
needed
to do
that. Oh, I thought
you
were referring to the pictures. The pictures
yeah,
the of
the pictures.
Guy. Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First? Okay. No, you're yeah, right. Yeah, they do right. show the pictures first.
So he's got the yeah. pictures. Which, these are not mug shots. These are glamour shots, and it's just very
these,
good. These are just Sears portraits.
This is the IMDb headshot yeah. 1960s. Yeah.
For some of these guys, it may be there's still IMDb headshot.
It could, yeah, it probably is. Mm. So let's see. So there was Tony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has a list of aliases, including Kissing
gosh.
Clyde,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
This was my favorite one because they talk about like his list of crimes that he had when he was in Detroit. Detroit never changed, first of all. And then this like long list of crimes, including like, you know, running all the numbers in Detroit. And then he left the police service and joined up with Babyface, yeah. which was my favorite. I have literally none of the other names, though. I remember Tony, though, because Tony comes back. Because
Tony's,
obviously there's
one of the guys.
Yeah, just
yeah, Muggsy.
Name an uh-huh. Italian, make an Italian name up, and you basically got it.
Yeah.
It's probably fine.
but there's
like
three of them, and that's the important part. And he's like, well, how am I going to find them? He's like, don't worry, they'll find you. But before
Wink.
You do that, yeah, huh? But before you do that, you need to be like Baby. Like, you can't just look like him, you know. You need his mannerisms and his turns of phrase. Well, who's going to teach me that? Well, don't worry, Babyface is. Because you're just going to get put in a jail cell with him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even worry about it. So.
Yeah. It's a right, great so, plan, boss.
Yeah. So Mickey goes to talk to Babyface. And he poses as his cousin. I'm your cousin, Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yeah. I kind of haven't really talked to the family.
It's a good thing that worked.
Yeah, there was some real good, like, you know, I know it's not hard to do the two camera, you know, like the two shot, like, but it was real. They did a good job.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah. No, it looked great.
And they pay it off at the end.
Yes.
When we do get both of them in one shot,
mm-hmm.
Which at the time was a little trickier of a proposition than it is now.
Yeah. High five each other, you cowards.
We'll get there later. And so even more, the part that's even more ridiculous, quite frankly, because he does look just, he's like, oh, where have I seen you before? Oh, you look just like me. So, like, saying, like, hey, we're related, I feel like you are okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then we get, I'm trying to model myself after you.
Yeah.
What? What is this plan? None of this is a good plan.
And yet.
But okay.
And yet Babyface is just like, sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. Babyface is a narcissist. He's like, of course you want to walk like me.
Yeah.
Talk like me.
True.
I want to be like you. Ooh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Saw it coming. Heard it coming.
I do love Mickey's first attempt at walking like him. Like, yeah, I walk like you. And just gets up and just does the Mickey walk. And just like smile and bob in his head. It's so good.
That's not how I walk. And it's so good. It's so good. Babyface is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's why it feels so much like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Because, like, he was legitimately any of the gangster characters from the Flintstones. Like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weren't there gangsters in Wacky Races?
Yes, there were.
The Anthill Mob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's who Babyface is.
Yeah.
He's one of them. Yep. Easy peasy. Which is probably where Mickey got the inspiration. Were those cartoons running around the same time?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
So
it's all the same writers just bouncing from show to show.
Just mix them up.
True.
If we've learned one thing, that is what we've learned, is that it's just there's just the same fingers in all the pies.
Yeah, there's like eight people that make TV and
yep.
And they're all straight white men who hate women.
Yeah.
Well, and then Carol Burnett.
And right.
Yeah, she kicked through the door and told them what to do.
Oh, and we have a Carol Burnett show, I'm telling you. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Not to derail, but I'm ready for it.
Yeah. So so he's like, well, how would you rough somebody up? And so Babyface demonstrates. You're like, grab him by the shirt. And so Mickey's like, all right, let me try. And you tell me if I do anything wrong. So he does it, and he's doing a good job, and he gets a little carried away, and he slaps Babyface. Who then, I feel like, pretty predictably, attacks Mickey slowly, but, you know, and Mickey's calling for a guard who does not come. We just fade to black. We assume maybe he died. Who knows? The rest of it's just a coma dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, anything's possible during the
cutaway. A new camera shot is.
I mean, it's a lot.
They didn't need that.
Although right, that was something I did learn was this was a show that had a lot more setups than your typical sitcom. So
that's really
what did kind of happen there was they were going to have to do a setup for a different set. So just fade to black and he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah, sure.
We get it. So it'll work itself out. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is. Like, it doesn't matter.
No.
So he goes down to, the purple? Is it the purple velvet?
Oh, I didn't catch
something like it that. It's something like.
I think it was purple elephant, right?
Was it?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever like it was.
Big elephant, purple elephant. It's some kind of elephant.
Big purple elephant.
I remember that.
This is the bar. And Mickey walks in, dressed like Babyface, to this 1920s speakeasy in the middle of LA in the 60s, which is fine.
So
I feel like now a 1920s speakeasy, I know for a fact because I know somebody that has been to a 1920s speakeasy in LA today. So he goes in. Ostensibly to meet the gang. But we've left out one little bit of information about Babyface, which seems like a pretty big hole in the whole info area. Like, we're also not good at information in this department. because we meet Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great, honestly. Terrific. So she's like, Babyface, you got out. And she goes to kiss him. And he's like, easy, my porcelain crown. I appreciate that sentiment, but
Oh, sure. You know? I just need to know, like, what kind of kissing is going on that your crowns are in danger?
I mean, if you know.
Mm-hmm. Look, it was the 60s.
Yeah, it was a wild time.
And so she's like, aren't you going to give your ruby a kiss? And so he's got this giant ruby pinky ring on, which he then kisses, which is so good. He's like, no, me. All right, so he's got the girl. He's like, listen, I trust you. I trust you more than anybody else in this town. Listen, Ruby, can I trust you? Yeah. All right, so I broke out, and I got to get the diamonds, and we're getting my cut. The heat's on. I got to get the ice. She's like, well, Tony, she's our exposition character, which is nice. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, things have changed. Like, Tony's in charge now, and he's not going to like this. And he's like, listen, I get a book with names and dates in a bus station. Here's the key. And he gives her the key and says, put it someplace safe. So she drops it down the front of her dress. And he goes, I said someplace safe, Ruby.
I read all into that. I was like, oh, boy.
Brutal accusation.
Yeah, that was
mean. Unbelievable. I did a spit take on that one. I was like, oh, boy. Oh, no.
Yeah, that was really good.
And it's really good. So he's like, all right, I got to find Tony and the boys. And she's like, they're right behind you. Because they're always right behind you, right? Like, that's the...
Yes.
So, yeah, Tony's in charge and Tony doesn't want to go get the diamonds, and Mickey is like, things have changed. And Mickey pulls out this gun, this ridiculous handgun, and is like, well, we're going to change him back. And he goes to like, cock it, and all the bullets fall out.
That was great.
And he goes, don't worry about it, I got plenty more. Like, at least show him how to use, like, show him literally anything. Like,
Did you teach him trigger discipline?
Something, anything.
But just the fact that, like, not in any way qualified, and give him a gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But don't tell him
how to use it.
You've seen movies, right? Here you go.
Yeah.
So, so the plan is we're gonna go get the diamonds from the hiding place. You know the hiding place, yeah. I know the hiding place. But we're gonna meet here. We'll go get them tomorrow. So Mickey leaves.
Wait.
Okay, what did I miss? I missed something.
Fight before all this.
Oh my god, I missed the bar fight. Mm-hmm. Good grief. All right, so we get our first musical number, which is the really important part, the entire purpose of this. The most incongruous musical number to bar fight. So there's a bar fight. This is before we meet the boys out back.
Slow-mo. It was fast-mo. Mm-hmm. It was regular mo.
There were two rubies. It was...
Yeah. And anybody who's not fighting is drinking, just watching. I was like...
Yeah.
I mean, that would be me. But right. When you stage fighting and you do stage fighting in slow-mo, it really lets all the secrets out the door. Because you're like, that guy was braced for that punch well before hit him. It's kind of like that's... But the fast-mo worked.
Yeah.
Is fast-mo a thing?
It is now.
Fast-mo.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, good.
It was...
you heard it here first.
It was... I think my favorite part was there's like one of the guys goes crashing through a table where two guys are drinking and they just hand him the drink. That's right. Yeah. That's before the whole meeting with Tony and everybody.
But just that whole fight, Mickey.
That whole fight was so good.
I don't think he gets hit. He just falls down and is down on the floor the whole fight.
He's just sitting next to Ruby, who somehow got knocked out.
After everything, he gets up. It's like, so you boys had enough? And they're like, yeah, Mickey, we're sorry. You're in charge.
That's so right. Good. I can't believe I forgot that. And they're like, we'll meet you out back. And then Mickey walks into the ladies' room. Mm-hmm. Much screaming.
Which was only shown from, like, his feet. And then a lot of screaming happened. Mm-hmm. And then they pan up for the joke of, oh, it's the ladies' room. Which I kind of thought was kind of weird. Like, we're not allowed to know what's in a ladies' room, even on TV, you know?
Because it was just, like... Because you do see people walk in there, and it's just a room.
It's just a room.
So the plan is we're going to go get the diamonds tomorrow at the place. You know the place, but we're going to meet here.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So Mickey leaves, and it's going to go directly home, which is a wild choice.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Surely not, but okay. And Tony and the guys decide that... Something's fishy. Something's up. Let's follow him. So Mickey's back at the house talking to Peter and Mike because Davey is not in this episode because he was in England at his sister's wedding. As we learn at the clip at the end of the episode.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
I did too.
Yeah, because I was sad to not know where Davey was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in, like, the musical number at the end, which is completely separate and unrelated to literally anything else that happens.
But yeah.
You gotta have it, though.
Yeah, you gotta.
Mm-hmm.
So he is talking to Peter and Mike about, because he'd talked to the police captain, and they're gonna, you know, tomorrow when they go do the thing, you're gonna... you know, send two specialists to meet me there. Great. And right behind him, Tony and the boys over here in the whole thing. All right.
You know, they're not going to, they're not wondering who these two guys are, or why we're in this weird house.
Yeah.
It's just, we found you.
Haha.
Let's go. We're going tonight.
Listen, really we're going to go tonight. Are these the two specialists? And they're like, yep.
Right.
Sure are.
Specialists of something.
It's something. They are. Yeah. I will give them that. We don't know of what, but it's fine. So they go out and the phone begins to ring. And of course, nobody answers. Turns out it's the police captain. He's like, ah, I didn't pick up. Really wish we could tell him. The real baby face escaped.
Oh, no.
All right. This crime, guys, it's the best idea. This is the best idea for a crime. Mm-hmm. So they stole these diamonds, right? It was this jewel heist. And they hid the loot in the room where they stole them from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one ever figured that out.
Yeah.
That's
how are
you going
to get them? You have to steal them twice.
Right.
You have to break in again.
You do have to break in again. But regardless, they are hidden behind one of the stones on the fireplace in the room where they were originally kept. The guys are like, which stone is it, Babyface? He's like, I don't remember. I was in prison for so long, you forget things. It's been like days. Like it's
been hours.
We did we missed one of my favorite jokes of this whole thing too, by the way. Because they asked him how'd you get out?
Oh yeah.
Like, I broke out in daytime.
Didn't they see with your searchlights? I did it so that the searchlights were useless. Well, how'd you do that? Broke out during the day.
Broke out daytime. I laughed. So really hard.
I laughed when he said it, and then they both, like, all the criminal friends were just, like, had that look like they were trying to think about what he meant. didn't actually say anything, but just that, like, huh?
You could smell. Oh, okay. You could smell that they were thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. That broke me.
That was
all
so
right.
good.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike is like, oh, we got the specialist. That's why we brought the specialist. Don't even worry about it. And so they're like, well, we're going to put these explosives and up the chimney. We're going to blow the whole thing up, and then we'll pick the diamonds out of the rubble.
Solid plan.
Solid plan.
Look, it's as good as any plan the police have had in this episode.
This is true.
True.
So, and then they do... Like, but nothing happens. Like, it just, they're like, these specialists are not very good. No, they're not.
Well, they, really. I mean, they didn't blow up the fireplace. They blew up something else. So they just missed a little bit. Hit the piano.
Yeah. So they're like, fine, we're going to take this fireplace apart brick by brick. And then there's like chiseling by hand with jackhammer noise, which was just very good.
More Hanna-Barbera sound.
Yeah. Yep. More right? Like, so
it's so good.
It's so good. So then.
Well, that's when the patrolman shows up.
Yeah, the patrolman shows up. Because they've got all the lights on the doors.
Because
are
of
all
the
open.
Lights, not because of the explosion from the TNT or the guys banging on the fireplace. It's the lights.
It's the lights. And they all like dive behind the couch where they're very clearly visible. It's
fine. Or where they were clearly visible and you could watch them dive behind the couch. Because that patrolman was easily had eyes on them.
Yeah. So he nods at them at one point.
Apparently not.
Like, I don't know what their plan was. So the patrolman says, well, you know, these guys, they're out of town and no one's supposed to be here. So, you know, when I see a house when with the lights on and I know no one's supposed to be here. So I got these tickets to the policeman's ball.
Yeah.
you guys might be interested. You know, 20 for the whole, I'll take them all. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love Mike there at that point. He's like, I'll take them
all. Yep.
Just give them.
Great.
Give him here and get out of here.
Which is like, wait, but that's good. Like, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no communication in this police department either. None.
No
communication. No one knows they're there. So I'm trying to think. What's
to go
next?
Back to going at the fireplace.
Right, and they find the box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They pull the box out of the fireplace, and in walks Babyface. And they're like, Babyface? And Mickey is like, yeah? And they're like standing there. It's like, uh-oh. Oh, no. Now we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of back and forth trying to determine the classic, which one's the real one.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Who's the real Babyface?
So it's like, ask me a question that, you know, ask me a question about one of our jobs. And so like, who was the getaway driver on this job? And it was, he just steals somebody and he says it this like really specific way. And Mike copies him like immediately after he says it.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
It was good.
And it wasn't that he copied him. It's like, oh, he could have read that in the paper.
No. That was the next part.
No, that was the next one.
Because then he's like,
that was the next
what
one.
What was the one thing Steve did wrong? And Mickey goes, we hit a cop. Well, that was in the newspaper. Yeah. Ah, see, right. Got you there, Mickey. No, stop. Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, Peter.
Oh, no.
Peter gave it away.
Gave it away. Yep. I've lost the track of how it all resolved.
They did too, because then they just turned out the lights.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And then it was like the cops showed up, and they had the guys covered in a white sheet because you can't show Mickey. It's too expensive to show Mickey and that many people.
Yeah.
At the same time, so they covered the bad guys in a sheet and let him out the door.
So we get
I thought this was about to be a shell game. Where it's like, oh no, the real Mickey got snitched, mixed up with Babyface.
Well,
he's going to jail.
So we go to the police department. And
well, don't forget the part where the police gave them their reward.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's your reward. Some of the jewels.
From the estate of this family that's not here at all?
Yeah, from the theft.
That's just going in the evidence locker.
Right.
Never to be seen again.
We figured out who the real crooks are here. The crooks are the cops.
Yeah. I think we figured that out.
The chief took the box with him, you know, so he could put that in evidence locked and be like, there they are, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Family probably already got the insurance money. Don't even worry about it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they, we get to the police station and great, we're getting our wrap up, our great old TV wrap up, and we got the jewels,
oh, yeah.
We got all the bad guys. There's just one more loose end. Mike says, "What's that?" And it pans over to two chairs with a coat rack in between them, which is the very important coat rack.
Yes.
Like, this is a load-bearing coat rack for this shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Mickey and Babyface both sitting there going, you know, I'm Mickey. No, I'm Mickey. And we cut to a musical number.
Yes.
Because you got to have one.
You got to have one. Like, part of me, like, kind of thought it was like, oh, yeah, no, we'll just see who knows the songs. And then, you know, no, it's unrelated.
No.
Unrelated to the rest of what has happened.
Yeah.
Episode. Music video portion.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the music video portion.
But we had Davey.
We had Davey and his maracas.
Six maracas.
So many maracas.
Six of them.
That's
need six?
That's a gratuitous number of maracas. Surely a larger, more maraca-y maraca would suit it just as well, right?
You would think
it's
so.
It's like heavy. And he had to
hold
them.
He's a small
like
guy. He's got small hands.
Claws. Yeah. Shaking these maracas like they're, I mean, he means it.
Yeah.
You can hear them on the mix, too. They're not useless maracas. They're
No. They're good. Yeah. They're good. It's just.
It's great work.
It's just a lot.
And Mike is over there crushing some 60s guitar.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
That's a good song, too. Like, it's a deeper cut, but it was a good one.
Yeah, if you're going to have a made-up band for TV, I mean, at least they could play. Nothing will drive me more insane, See Kids Incorporated, than people playing instruments that can't play.
Yeah.
Which, just like, just pretend you know some chords.
Which is funny because the Monkees went through a lot of backlash that they didn't play their instruments and they were manufactured because their albums got put out with session musicians doing the music and all they did was sing. Their producer at the time only did that because they had some musical background, but like Mike was more of a, I think was a bass player. Peter actually played guitar better, but they had him as the bassist for the group. Mickey wasn't a drummer.
Mickey learned drums.
Yeah.
No, he learned drums like to do the show. Like it was part of the whole jam to figure out how to be a drummer was just to play the part better.
But
to look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that was the big thing was they could play and they did eventually do their own albums, but their first couple of albums there was a lot of and they fought back against it. Because the albums were that was the other part of it is the albums were put out like, no, it's just those four doing it. And I think Mike at one point even said like that annoyed him a lot that they did that because they weren't playing them and they weren't doing those songs initially. They did eventually get to do their own stuff, and which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike did seem to be the one most vocal about like issues he had or like not wanting to be a part. Because at one point I think he's quoted as saying like, it was a great TV show. We played on a TV show. Mm-hmm. Like when they wanted to do like reunion tours and stuff. He's like, TV was fun. Basically saying like, we're not real. We were put together. Like he seemed like he had a very punk rock attitude about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Like we're just a TV. It's a TV. Everybody calm down.
Although I did like, there was something I read about he went to a recording session at Abbey Road when the Beatles were there. And actually did ask Lennon if Lennon, according to what I read, whether it's true or not, I don't know. It could be apocryphal. But he asked Lennon, look, are we just like a cheap ripoff of the Beatles? And Lennon's like, I think you're some of the most talented. Like, he's like, I watch your show and I've never missed an episode is apparently what he said.
Nice.
Wow. So
that's high praise. That's cool. Because to me, it seems like they're a little bit of a ripoff.
Well,
of
I mean,
the
Beatles. I mean, they're no Ruggles. But there's certainly, like, you know,
was,
I mean,
it was,
it's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. It's not NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, there's a genre.
But it was very much on the, you know, off the wave of the British invasion.
Yeah.
And the Monkees were born.
Yeah, the hair there's, and everything. Yeah. Yeah, it's all the whole
thing. There's no secret. Like, it's
no.
like,
no.
You're definitely into it. I mean, it's like I said, that like they were inspired by Hard Day's Night and Help. Like, that was why they wanted to do it in the first place. Because, I mean, yeah, it, you couldn't make more money than the Beatles then. You know what I mean? Like, they were, what was it? They're bigger than Jesus, right?
Yes, they were bigger than Jesus. Everybody got upset about.
So, okay, a question.
America.
A question for the group.
Yes.
So, manufactured bands, like, there's manufactured bands, but then there are the fictional bands that are created for entertainment, right? They're the the Monkees or the Partridge Family or what?
Together. You remember them?
Yeah. The Heights.
Okay.
MTV. Is another one.
The Heights, yeah.
You know, all these that are they're a band that is created for the movie or the television show or whatever it is. The Monkees have to be on the Mount Rushmore of that, right? They have to be one of
absolutely.
The best. I mean,
absolutely.
Not only because of like the Billboard hits that they had. I mean, they had number one hits, like
three, I think.
They had three number one hits.
Three.
They had two or three number one albums. One of their albums came out like the week before Sgt. Pepper's, I think it was. And so, like, they were number one, and then Sgt. Pepper's comes out
and
the next week, and it's like, well, okay, now you're number two.
According to Wikipedia, four chart-topping albums.
Okay.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're definitely on that Mount Rushmore, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does that happen anymore? I mean, can you think of the last one I can think of would be The Heights?
Yeah, and they had one song.
They had one song,
their theme song,
and it charted,
and it did well
because that song was everywhere when that show was out. You couldn't escape it. But I can't think of anything that's done that since then.
No, they tried because one of the ones I thought about along the same time as Saved by the Bell, they had a Saved by the Bell like show called California Dreams, and they tried to do that with them. Didn't work, but they tried. Like, they put out their music as a music video and stuff, and
Kelly says Big Time Rush, which I was unfamiliar with until I've just looked on IMDb, but it's apparently a big deal.
Okay.
And is kind of the Monkees of a new generation. This is on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
From 90.
That makes sense.
2009 to 2013 about a boy band. So, I mean, yeah, this could be done again. There's a formula here if you wanted to do it per generation.
Yeah. The one other thing that's kind of, this is a weird one. This is a stretch, but the Ninja Turtles had that one musical thing.
Yeah, I had that on tape.
Yeah, me too. And it wasn't popular at all, but it was enough that, like, they, you know, they toured and had this show. The reason I know about Oprah is because my mom let me come watch Oprah when they were on the Oprah Winfrey show. Like,
well,
yeah, that's an awkward interview too, but it was fun for me as a kid.
It's a wildly different genre than all of these things, but Death Clock is a pretend band that's on tour with Baby Metal right now. I mean,
that's a good.
I mean,
one.
It's a wildly different genre,
but it's the same thing. It was Brendan Small and Tommy. I can't remember his last name.
In the chat right now, September's pointing out Hannah Montana.
Yeah, Hannah Montana.
Yeah,
that's
I would say so, except that that's different in that it was a show, and she's a pop star in the show, but it's Miley Cyrus.
Didn't they take Hannah Montana
I think
on the road?
They did.
Before
I suppose
before she was Miley.
She was
Cyrus,
Hannah Montana before she was Miley Cyrus. I mean, she was Miley Cyrus as Hannah Montana, but Hannah Montana was the thing that kicked her off for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think Audie's onto it. I mean, if that one's one of those weird ones though, where Disney is going to take a Disney star show and capitalize on it and do everything they can to push it.
Well,
these like network television shows feel a little bit different than Disney makes everyone sing and dance. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. True, but you.
So it feels like that's part of the plan with them versus these that it's like, we're going to make a thing, and if it hits, it hits. You know, let's try to make it hit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but if you read about like the Monkees as a series, it was basically, hey, we want to do this show that's revolved around a band, and okay. Well, we cast the people. All right, now we're going to put out albums that go along with the show. Like, they put the first album out, or the single, you know, like a couple of weeks before the show premiered to drum up an audience for the show. So it was a whole marketing push in 1966. So, you know.
Yeah, it's all part of the same idea then. We're gonna make a make a band, make an artist, and they're gonna.
But I think to your point, Travis, I don't think we've had anyone come close to do what the Monkees did as a band and a TV show together.
Yeah, and certainly.
Multi-generational. Like, Kelly was 11 watching this show. Yeah. There are people in their 50s watching this show. There are people in their 30s. Big Time Rush, I didn't know who they were until Kelly said it. You know, like, I'm not watching that.
Right.
But if the Monkees is on ABC at 8 when everyone sits down to watch TV, that's everybody's paying attention to that, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And good enough that MTV and Nickelodeon put on reruns. I mean, that's not nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we
that is exactly.
You sometimes scoff at what's on Nick at Night, but Nickelodeon does not program stuff that isn't going to get eyeballs enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And MTV kind of owed Mike Nesmith, as Kelly mentioned in the chat. He came up with the whole idea of a 24-hour music channel, and he sold it to Time Warner, and they were like, okay, fine, but we're going to test it out. So they tested these primetime, or these music, two-hour music blocks or something on Nickelodeon, and they went really well. So they were like, okay, we'll do it. And he's like, sweet. So the MTV was his baby. Also, his mom invented liquid paper.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Some people just got this weird thing happening around them. I don't know what that is.
It's a creative genius. Jack Black's mom was in NASA, right? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's another one.
Yeah, he's basically an astronaut.
Yeah.
He's a spaceman.
Tenacious D. That's a show in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's true. And I don't know which came first, the band or the show.
I think it was the band.
The band came first,
but I might be wrong.
I don't know.
They're a phenomenon, but you know, like,
best
they don't
concert
stop.
I have ever been to.
I believe it.
I guess you could. You could also put like Flight of the Conchords in there.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is not. So what we're getting at is this is not a unique scenario, but. The Monkees was probably the first earth-shattering version of this.
Yeah.
They're the peak that they have set the bar that nobody has yet been able to cross in this same way with this same collection of
not
TV
that I can think of, and certainly not with the staying power that it is.
No.
Oh, yeah. The longevity, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the cameos from all three of them in movie after movie in the 90s. Like, they just show up places. Absolutely.
I can guarantee that most people in like a pretty wide age bracket did the Monkees Walk. You know, yeah,
100%. We did it
I still do it.
We did it in a movie we made in high school. We used it.
I still do it sometimes at conventions.
It's not like the cross your legs walk, we're going to walk like the Monkees.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And
even if you have no context for it because you've never seen it, you know the
that
Monkees
was me.
Walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like, honestly, people said it's the Monkees Walk. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
I watched the intro. I'm like, oh, I remember. Oh okay.
I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody who's listening who hasn't seen the Monkees in years can picture right now exactly what the Monkees Walk is without us describing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just know. Mm-hmm. It's now in the embedded memory DNA of humankind.
Yeah. Yes. The collective unconscious.
Honestly, I thought of trying to do that for the illustration, but I wasn't sure if I could pull it off well enough.
It's tricky.
Oh, yeah. Without the motion.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to need you to start animating some of this. Just need you to get on that.
Roll up the sleeves. Uh-huh. Warm up your Apple Pencil. Let's go.
I feel like I don't need to ask how we all felt about the Monkees. Although I do want to ask Audie, because you had not seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
So give me the rundown. How did you feel? Because I'm going to tell you, this was maybe not like a tippity top tier episode, but it was the one we could watch, so this is the one that we did choose. So I want to know your feelings about this situation.
I think if our conversation throughout this whole show didn't prove it enough, this was fun. Like,
good.
This is one of those shows, I don't know when I'll be able to go back and watch more, but I want to try and find some and watch some more.
I think it was that much fun. I don't think you can, I don't think it's anywhere, but I think you can buy it.
I mean, just find another episode like this on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I just checked Just Watch. The Monkees is not available for streaming anywhere.
Right.
Or rent or service. Like, it's just, it's basically just, nothing.
You might have to sail the seven seas.
After watching this, after getting all this info and figuring it out, it's like, I already love these guys and want to watch more. So,
yay.
You got me hooked.
Good. Awesome. That's so great. Glad. Well, for other people who want to who submitted some feedback, because we ask our audience, do you love the Monkees? Well, we've got Kelly Lynn Colby, who's been very active in our chat earlier in Discord. Her response when I said, has anybody seen the Monkees? Are you kidding? I'm obsessed with the Monkees. I've seen them in concert like 6 times. I know every word to every song and so much background info. She also gave us the tidbit, Davey was so popular, it's why they added Chekhov to Star Trek to try and attract a younger audience. That's cool. And Hammer, Hammer Dwarf in our Discord, twodorks.net/Discord, said the Monkees were kind of a background to my childhood. I didn't particularly love them, but they were always on and always entertaining. He enjoyed the over-the-top and zany feel of the show. That's what made it feel so fun to him, and it was sprinkled in with some normal stuff here and there. But basically what we said, nice. Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah. I got a response on Threads from internet buddy Corey Scott. He was like, in the mid-80s, MTV got on this kick where they started playing all the Monkees episodes, and my friends and I got kind of obsessed with them. Still love the band's music to this day. The best episode, in my opinion, is the one where Peter learns to play the harp. Mostly for Mike's speech about it at the end. For a quote-unquote fake band, that group sure was full of some talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. And September in the chat said, weirdly, I was introduced to the show in the 80s by a bandmate like 4 years younger than me. I was a punk rock girl and he was a Beatles dude. There you go.
That is the intersection is the Monkees.
That is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you're gonna be okay with it. You can be as punk rock as you want. And you're like, yeah. The Monkees, mm-hmm. right on.
And not for nothing, some of these jokes in this show were really well written.
Good.
They were whipped smart.
We mentioned a joke setup, and then there was a payoff. When Ruby first goes to Mickey, and he's like, hey, no, my porcelain crowns. When the real Mickey comes into the bar later, she goes to kiss him. He's like, nah, hey, my porcelain crowns.
Porcelain crowns.
Right? And that was the one that broke me. Because I love a good setup and payoff, and there was no indication that that was going to happen. It was such a brilliant payoff.
Yep. Definitely.
So it's the Monkees. Hooray.
Hey, hey.
So we will not be here next week, as Travis and I are both traveling. We will both be getting back from a convention and we'll be in no condition to do this. You think I'm unprepared now. but Travis does have the next episode, which will be the following week. And Travis, what are we wrapping up music month with?
Okay, so we're going to go from the Monkees to, I'm going to go in a different direction.
Sure.
I was racking my brain trying to think of something to do for musical month because it was like, I could do Josie and the Pussycats would be a fun one to do.
Yep, I thought about that one.
You know, Partridge Family, of course, is the classic. There's all sorts of stuff. And I thought, no, I want a musical episode from something that has no business having a musical episode.
Yeah.
So I found season 3, episode 12 of Xena, Warrior Princess. Is a musical episode entitled The Bitter Sweet. So we're going to watch that.
Oh, my goodness.
I have previewed this, and strap in, folks. It's going to be fun. That's all I can say. Get ready.
Oh, boy.
So season 3, episode 12.
All in those skimpy
Xena absolutely.
Outfits.
Absolutely. So it is streaming on Amazon Prime. So you can, if you have Amazon Prime Video, you can watch it there.
Yes.
So season 3, episode 12, The Bitter Sweet, is a full-on musical episode. And I'm talking like Broadway musical. episode.
Outstanding.
Oh, nice. Man.
So,
I'm in. Fantastic.
2 weeks to watch that one, so
yeah.
Make it happen, kids.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now we end a show. That's the thing that happens. Mm-hmm. So definitely watch the Xena episode for the next episode. If you want to contact us, you can twodorks.net/discord if you want to join the Discord. It's those days show on Twitter. Those were the days show at gmail.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all everywhere. All of the information is in the show notes. That's a good thing to do.
Yep.
Yeah. You can find those.
So until next time. What? You got some?
Okay.
All right.
No, I was just going to say we did have a Discord person join. Poseidon joined up with us, who apparently watched the show. So shout out to him.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Them. I don't know what they are. I made an assumption. they joined, and it's great.
So until next time, everybody, stay groovy. This was Those Were the Days.